Glad that you're here today. There are some amazing passages of Scripture in the Bible that just tell us that we're not coincidence, that we're not just a product of two people, that God, and it's mind-boggling, that God knew us even before he created the world. And there are passages that keep reminding us of that, that Psalm 139, that God knew us before we were knit together in our mother's womb, that God had prepared for us an individual, unique life. So as a minister, I get books sent to me. Sometimes I order various books, and I love to read, I love to learn. And every once in a while, a friend will send me a book. Well, I was intrigued several weeks ago, coming home and seeing an express post, it was obviously a book. And I recognized who sent me this wonderful book, a great man, a spiritual man, high school teacher all of his life, and he thought that I would enjoy this book. It's a children's book. And right away I thought of what Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never really get what it is to be part of the kingdom of God, the innocence, the uniqueness. And so he sent me this book. It's called When God Made You. And I want to read to you the book this morning. It's not long, and I'm happy to share it with you at any point. It was written by Matthew Turner. Lovely illustration by David Cattrall. Unique pictures, but here is our story. So I don't know if you can do this or not, but I think it might be cool if you can remember photographs of what it was like for you, what you looked like when you were maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, or maybe even as an infant. Here's our story. When God made you, God made you all shiny and new. An incredible you. A you all on your own. A you unlike anyone else ever known. An exclusive design. One God refined. You're a perfectly crafted one of a kind. Because when God made you, somehow God knew that the world needed someone exactly like you. You think God thinks about you? God was thinking of you long before your debut. From the very beginning, amid history and time, you never left God's mind. God imagined your eyes, your head's shape and size, and knew what you'd look like when you felt surprised. God pictured your nose and all your toes, the sound of your voice. God had it composed. The lines on your hands, your hair, every strand. God knew every detail because it was all planned. Out of the billions of faces from cultures and races, people God made from all different places, God knew your name. Your picture is framed. God's family without you would not be the same. Because when God made you, this much is true, the world got to meet you, who God already knew. You, when God sees you, God delights in what is and sees only that which is true. That you, yes, you, in all your glory, bring color and rhythm and rhyme to God's story. So be you, fully you, a show-stopping review. Live your life in full color, every tint, every hue. Discover, explore, have faith, but love more. And learn, and relearn all that God made for you. Use your talents, use your passions, those gifts that God fashioned. Think up ideas and then put them into action. Because God loves you creating your self-true displaying. When light on the inside through art is portraying. When you make believe, the stories conceived, the heroics, the magic, those tricks up your sleeve. When you dance alone, spinning like a cyclone, being whoever, whatever, in a world all your own, God smiles, and here's why. In the spark of your eye, a familiar reflection shines bright from your inside. Because when God made you, and the world oohed and awed, in heaven, they called you an image of God. You, and God dreams about you. God dreams about all that in you will be true. That you, God's you, will be hopeful and kind, a giver who lives with all heart, soul, and mind. A dreamer who dreams in big and small themes, one who keeps dreaming in journeys upstream. A mover, a shaker, a lover of nature, a builder of bridges. You, the peacemaker. A you who views others as sisters and brothers and lives by three words. Love one another. A confident you. Strong and brave too. You being you is God's dream coming true. Because when God made you, all of heaven was beaming. Over you, God was smiling and already dreaming. This book was written before God created anything. That we were in his mind, in his creative mind, that each one of us would be born at just the right time and at just the right place, and that God has put part of himself in us. We're talking a lot recently, and we'll continue to talk some more about God's Holy Spirit who lives in us, part of God living in us. It's not just a gentle thought. It is the reality that God knew us even before we were born, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. You are not the end of your story, because we're still writing our story, and God is encouraging us forward. What's truly unique is that out of the billions and billions and billions of people that have ever been made, there's no two alike. Individually created. And yet, we are connected to one another. And I don't mean that we're connected to just our fine group of people here this morning, which we are, but we're connected to all people. Never meant to be alone, individually unique. The scriptures remind us of how we use the gifts and talents God has given us to bless others in the world, to make the world a better place. And just a couple of scriptures I want to share this morning, highlighting what was already been read, is how connected we are to one another. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 11, it's this unique passage. Before verse 11, it's talking a little bit about the fact that we have a new self because of Christ. And that God is renewing us all the time, all along. But then he says this, in Christ, there is no Jew, Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian. I'll just stop here for a minute. I don't know that we've ever met many barbarians. I had to figure out what's he talking about. And some of the commentaries suggest that a barbarian was someone who did not speak Greek and was thought to be rather uncivilized. Well, I don't speak Greek, and I'm probably not too civilized, so maybe there's a bunch of barbarians with us this morning. I don't know. But it was this concept of Paul is listing racism. That racism was happening way back then, and it hasn't changed. Racism has been rampant always. Yes, we're individually unique. Yes, we're all connected. However, we're going to divide people, put people into little sections. Maybe we can do life better if we do it that way. But that's not what Paul says. That we are created in the image of God, connected to one another. And then he uses this word Scythian. And a Scythian was not a complimentary word. It was a person who was known as being brutal and sometimes worse than wild beasts. And so what Paul is saying is, in Christ, even people who've gotten off track are welcome into the kingdom of God. Even people who have done horrible things in this world, murdering people and so forth, that was not what God created them to be. But they can be brought back into the kingdom of God. And the person who wrote this should know what he's talking about because he was a murderer. Paul himself, who gave the thumbs up to people that he thought were not part of God and we should get rid of them. That's not what this book says. And that's not what this book says. And that's not what the creator of all things says. That we're all connected to one another. Well, another passage that I think is pretty cool is in Galatians chapter 3 and starting in about verse 26. It's this beautiful description how we all come together in Christ. And he says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is not saying that we lose our gender. He's not saying that there weren't Jews and there were, but in Christ there isn't. In Christ, we are all one. And if we belong to Christ, then we belong back to the very beginning of what God created. He says, you are Abraham's seed. You go right back to the beginning. And again, we go back to the fact that God knew us even before we were born. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, he says this. Just as a body what did God make bodies for? How do we treat bodies? How do we treat a baby's body? How do we treat people's body? Do you not know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? God put himself in us. Bodies. So then he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Whether Jews, Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many. And then, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. And for years I missed that. It was just a comment. Well, body means church, where the body. No. You, me, the body, we are the body of Christ. And each one of you is part of that body. It's just too easy to say that the body means, well, it's a gathering of people. No. It's the individual uniqueness that God made us. We are his body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body, because we are the body of Christ. Now let's ask that question again. So what are bodies for? And how do we treat our body? And how do we treat others' body? And then the last scripture is the one that Barbie read to us this morning, and it's really profound. John chapter 17 has been preached so many times, but it's really a beautiful prayer, and it's Jesus pouring his heart out to God, talking about himself, talking about his friends, but then talking about us. And this is really one of the beautiful ways of reading this prayer, because we've already read that God knew us before we were born. He created us. And Jesus, when he was praying this prayer, was thinking of us, thinking of our time today, of the people of God, the body of Christ. And here's what he says about us. He says, my prayer is not for those that have already prayed for them all alone. I pray for all of us who will believe in me. I believe for all who will believe in me, that's us, through the message that has been preached, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them glory. That's what this little book talks about, the glory of God, who knew us before we were born, who knew what we'd look like, who knew where we'd live. I've given them glory. Part of me lives in us, that they may be one as we are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And that they will remember. Then the world will know. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. If you were to ask anyone, how much Does God love Jesus? I think we would all answer, well, you can't even put a price tag on that. You can't, there's no answer for that. How much does God love Jesus? How much does the Godhead love each other? You can't, I don't know how you answer that. Beyond measure. And that's what he says. That's how much God loves us. The body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for random gifts that come our way, that even through the eyes of a child, we adults can be reminded of how much you care for us and love us. May we honor that by feeling that way about one another and by reaching out into your world and helping one another to see the potential that you have put into each one of us to make this world the place that you always intended it to be. That love that flows through the cross of Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus, through the empowering of God's Holy Spirit living in us, that we will treat one another and the world around us with that love and that tenderness that you have poured out into our lives. And through Christ, we all say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.